Inferno by Dante, Canto 4 of 34, continuing the story. Thunder rolling heavily in my head shattered my deep sleep. Startled, I awoke, as though just shaken in some violent grip. And then once more my sight grew firm and fixed. Now upright and again afoot, I scanned intently all around to view where I might be. I found I'd reached, and this is true, the edge of the abyss, that cavern of grief and pain that rings a peal of endless miseries. The pit, so dark, so wreathed in cloud, went down so far that, peering towards its deepest door, I still could not discern a single thing. "Let us descend," the poet now began, "and enter this blind world." His face was pale. "I shall go first, then you come close behind." I was aware of his altered colour. "How can I come when you," I said, "my strength in every time of doubt, are terrified?" "It is the agony," he answered me, "of those below that paints my features thus. Not fear, as you suppose it is, but pity. Let us go on. The long road spurs our pace." So now he set himself, and me as well, to enter circle one, which skirts the emptiness. Here in the dark, where only hearing told, there were no tears, no weeping, only sighs that caused a trembling in the eternal air, sighs drawn from sorrowing, although no pain. This weighs on all of them, those multitudes of speechless children, women and full-grown men. "You do not ask," my teacher in his goodness said, "who all these spirits are that you see here. Do not, I mean, go further till you know. These never sinned, and some attained to merit, but merit falls far short. None was baptized. None passed the gate in your belief to faith. There lived before the Christian age began. They lived before the Christian age began. They paid no reverence as was due to God, and in this number I myself am one. For such deficiencies, no other crime, we all are lost, yet only suffer harm through living in desire, but hopelessly." At hearing this, great sorrow gripped my heart, for many persons of the greatest worth were held, I knew, suspended on this strip. "Tell me, sir, tell me, my dearest teacher," so I began, determined on a point of faith which routs all error, to be sure, "has anyone, by merit of his own, or else another's, left here, then been blessed?" And he, who read the sense my words had hid, answered, "I still was new to this strange state, when, now advancing, I beheld a power whose head was crowned with signs of victory. He led away the shadow of our primal sire, shades of his offspring, Abel and Noah, Moses, who uttered and observed the law of Abraham, the patriarch, David, the king, Israel, his father, and his own 12 sons, with Rachel too, for whom he labored long, and many more besides. All these he blessed. This too, I mean, you'll know. Until these were, no human soul had ever been redeemed." Speak as he might, our journey did not pause, but on we went and onward through the wood I mean of spirits thronging round. Our steps were still not far from where in sleep I fell, when now ahead I saw a fire that overcame a hemisphere of shade. From this we were as yet some paces off, but not so far that I should fail to see that men of honour made this place their own. "Honour you bring, my lord, to art and learning, Inform me who these are. Their honour great, who stand apart in some way from the rest. He answered me, the honour of their name rings clear for those like you who live above, and here gains favour out of heaven's grace. And then there came upon my ear a voice, honour be his, the poet in the heights, his shadow now returns which had departed. The voice was still and silent once again, and now I saw there came four noble shades, no sorrow in their countenance nor joy. My teacher, that good man, began to speak. Look on, behold the one who sword in hand precedes as their true lord the other three. This is that sovereign, Homer, poet. Horace the satirist is next to come. Ovid is third. Then, see, there is Lucan. All these by right must duly share with me the name that sounded in that single voice. They do me honour thus, and thus do well. And so I saw, assembling there as one, the lovely college of that lord of song whose verses soar like eagles over all. Some little time they talked among themselves, then turned to me and offered signs of greeting. On seeing all of this, my teacher smiled. And greater honour still they paid me now. They summoned me to join them in their ranks. I came and walked as sixth among such wisdom. So on we went to reach the Dome of Light, and spoke of things which, proper where I was, are relegated rightly here to silence. We reached the footings of a noble fort, circled around by seven curtain walls, and also, as its moat, a lovely stream. We passed this brook as though it were dry land. Through seven gates I went with these five sages. We then came out upon a verdant lawn. Here there were some whose eyes were firm and grave, all in demeanour of authority, who seldom spoke, their tones were calm and gentle. And so we drew aside and found a space, illuminated, open, high and airy, where all of these were able to be seen. And there, across that bright enamelled green, these ancient heroes were displayed to me, and I within myself am still raised high at what I saw. Electra, many round her, Hector I recognised, Aeneas too, and Caesar in arms with his hawk-like eyes. Camilla I saw, and Penthesilea, and King Latinus on the other side, his daughter seated with him, his Lavinia. Brutus, he drove proud Tarquin out, Lucrece, and Julia, Marcia, Cornelia, all these I saw, and there alone, apart, the Sultan Saladin. And then my brow raised higher still, I saw, among his family of philosophers, the master of all those who think and know. To him all look in wonder, all in honour, and closer to his side than all the rest, I now saw Socrates. I saw now Plato, and one, Democritus, who claims the world is chance, Diogenes, and Thales, Anaxagoras, Empedocles, Heraclitus, and Zeno. Then one I saw who gathered healing herbs. I mean good Dioscorides, Orpheus I saw, and Seneca the moralist, Linus Tully, Euclid, Geometer, and Ptolemy, Hippocrates, Avicenna, Galen, Averroes too, who made the commentary, I cannot here draw portraits of them all. My lengthy subject presses me ahead, and saying often falls far short of fact. That company of six declines to two. My lord in wisdom leads a different way, out of that quiet into trembling air. And nothing where I now arrive is shining. Wow. End of Canto 4. And what a list. Several of which I didn't pronounce correctly. But what a list. Imagine the narrator traveling with Virgil. Number 6 meets all those characters. All those voices that mean so much. It meant so much to Dante and means so much to our culture. So there we are, end of Canto 4 by Dante. Thanks very much for listening. Bye for now. Oh yes, and we'll go to Canto 5 where things get even more desperate.